Welcome to the Mystery Behind Art History. We're your hosts, Lily
And Alexandra, and this podcast is designed to give you an art history fix.
Whether you're a history buff or an avid artist or somewhere in between, this podcast is for you.
So today we're talking about Henri Matisse, but first, let's do the question of the day.
What's the hardest part of working virtually for you? The easiest?
For me, the hardest part about working virtually is having access to a computer to do my work on. I don't have a computer of my own right now, so oftentimes I just have to wait until I can borrow one from a family member. The easiest thing about working virtually is that I can set my own schedule. I found it easier to make time to do things that I wouldn't normally have a chance to do, running, for instance. I've been trying to run at least 2 miles every morning before I get started with my day. Normally, I'd be too tired or busy to do that. So I'm grateful it's working for me right now. What about you?
So, for me, I would say the hardest part about working virtually is not getting to see or interact with people in real life. And I also agree that it is easier to set my own schedule. Like, I can take breaks when I need to, and I can start my work when I have the chance. And I've also been taking the opportunity to run a couple of miles in the mornings, sometimes afternoons, which is something I don't really have time to do.
Yes, I definitely feel that. Okay, let's get right into it today. We are talking about one of my all-time favorite artists today. Henri Matisse was a French artist known for his use of color and for being a leading artist in the modern art movement. Matisse was born on December 31st, 1869, in the small northern French town of Le Cateau-Cambresis.
Okay. He was a New Year's Eve baby.
He was. Matisse was the oldest son of a wealthy grain merchant. When I first read that, I was like, what in the world is a wealthy grain merchant? Just the wording of it sounds weird, but upon further research, I figured out that Matisse's parents indeed sold grain and worked as weavers. They owned a general store that sold paints, among other things, which ended up being a pretty big inspiration for young Henri. Henri's mother, Anna, was actually an accomplished painter, and he claimed to have gotten his sense of color from her. Anyway, according to the UCLA Art Council, Matisse actually grew up about 20 minutes south of Le Cateau-Cambresis in the small town of Bonne-en-Vermandois. In 1887, when Henri was 18 years old, he traveled to Paris to study law. When he returned to his hometown after gaining his qualification, he began working as a court administrator in Le Cateau-Cambresis, his birthplace.
Even though his mother Anna was an artist, Matisse was not serious about art as a child. It was actually at the age of 22 when he first started creating art. His mother gave him art supplies when he was recovering from attack of appendicitis. During this period of rehabilitation, Matisse used painting as an escape. He later explained that he had found a kind of paradise painting while he was sick. His passion for painting grew, and within a short time, he decided to become an artist, which unfortunately deeply disappointed his father.
In 1891, he returned to Paris to study art at the Académie Julian, a private art school which was famous for the quality of artists who attended. The school was active for exactly 100 years, from 1868 to 1968. Anyway, Matisse became a student of two major artists, Gustave Moreau and William Adolphe Bouguereau. A little background about these guys. Gustave Moreau was a French symbolist, and he specialized in the illustration of biblical and mythological features. He was influenced by the Italian
Think
Renaissance.
Michelangelo.
Yes, he actually traveled to Italy to learn more about art in the late 1850s. Anyway, this guy was impressive and definitely knew what he was doing when it came to painting. Matisse's other teacher, William Adolphe Bouguereau, was another French painter who also specialized in mythological themes. He was popular both in France and the United States and received many honors for his work. Also, he painted 822 works, so I guess that's something too.
Oh my gosh, 822? That's amazing.
Yes, it's crazy, right? Anyway, Matisse had great teachers. Initially, he painted still lifes and landscapes in a traditional style. He was good at these, but this type of art didn't set him apart from the countless other artists.
When Matisse was 27 in 1896, still an unknown art student, he visited the Australian painter John Russell. Russell was an impressionist painter who painted with many famous European artists such as Van Gogh and Monet. Russell introduced him to impressionism in the work of Van Gogh, who, like I said just a second ago, was one of his friends. Russell gave Matisse a Van Gogh drawing, which was another great inspiration for him. Matisse's style changed completely. He abandoned his earth-colored palette and opted for more bright colors. This same year, 1896, Matisse exhibited five paintings with the Société Nationale Beaux-Arts, or the National Society of Fine Arts. Two of the paintings he exhibited were bought by the state.
Going back 2 years to 1894, Matisse had had a daughter named Marguerite with the model Caroline Jablau. However, in 1898, he married Amélie Noëline Perrer.
Okay, hold on. That is the dreamiest name. How fancy.
Haha, yes, I totally agree. After Matisse married Amélie Noëline Perrer, they had two sons, Jean, born in 1899, sorry, and Pierre, born in 1900. And they also raised Marguerite together. The same year he married Amélie, he traveled to London to study the paintings of J.M.W. Turner, an English romantic painter and watercolorist. Like Matisse, he played with color schemes, but not as dramatically as Matisse. When he returned to Paris a year later, he began to work alongside other French artists, including André Durain, who co-founded the Fauvist movement with Matisse.
Matisse immersed himself in the work of others and actually went into debt buying so many paintings from artists he admired. Matisse drew the most inspiration from Paul Cézanne, who also manipulated pictorial structure and color. Many of Matisse's paintings from 1898 to 1901 use a really cool technique called divisionism. Are you familiar with this, Alexandra?
I am. Do you want to explain it?
Sure. It's a strategy where artists separate colors into individual dots or patches, which interact optically. These paintings are basically made up of really small dots, which, when looked at from a distance, make up an image. Probably the most famous of these paintings is called A Sunday Afternoon on the Island of La Grande Jetée. When you look at a photograph of this painting, it looks completely normal. But if you were to zoom in or see it up close, you would notice that the entire painting is made up of really small dots. Painters use this technique instead of blending colors. Comparatively, his paintings from 1902 to 1903 are noticeably more somber, and he spent a lot of time working on clay sculptures.
In 1904, Matisse and André Durain, another French artist and friend of Matisse, co-founded the art movement Fauvism. Fauvism was a pretty short movement, lasting only about 6 years, but it paved the way for many other early 20th century art movements. As a style, Fauvist paintings emphasized strong colors over the realistic values of Impressionism. As we see throughout history, many movements are reactions to previous styles, and this is no exception. Matisse's Woman with a Hat is a great example of a popular Fauvist painting.
Matisse's first solo exhibition was at Ambroise Vollard Gallery and was not very successful. Side note on Vollard. Ambroise Vollard was one of the most important French art deals in the early 20th century. He supported many then unknown artists, including Paul Cézanne, Pablo Picasso, André Durain, Georges Rouleau, and Vincent van Gogh. Anyway, Matisse's fondness for bright colors became even more pronounced after the summer of 1904, which he spent painting in Saint-Tropez with Impressionists Paul Signac and Henri Edmond Cross. Back in 1904, Saint-Tropez was a small fishing village, but its beauty has attracted tourists worldwide. Over the years, it grew, and now it serves as a resort for European and American well-to-do tourists. In that year, Matisse painted the most important of his works in the Neo-Impressionist style. This painting, Lux Calm a Volupté, an oil on canvas, is considered the starting point of Fauvism. It's dynamic and vibrant and has a sense of fantasy that Matisse had not shown before. In 1905, he traveled again to work with André Durain in the commune of Collioure, near the border between France and Spain. His paintings of this period are most associated with pointillism, but a less intense version. Pointillism is similar to divisionism. In fact, divisionism is a more technical form of pointillism because it takes into account color and optical representation. Matisse and some other Fauvist artists exhibited together in a room at the Salon d'Automne, an annual art exhibition held in Paris in 1905. These paintings express emotion with wild colors without regard to the natural colors of the subject. I don't know if I mentioned this before, but this is probably my favorite thing about Fauvism and Matisse's art in general. With the piece we talked about a few minutes ago, Women with a Hat, the woman's face is yellow and teal, obviously not the natural colors of flesh. Her dress is very colorful, and while they all blend together, her arm, hand, and torso stand out as shapes. To me, this takes real talent. Matisse has made something so out there and colorful Matisse has made something so out there and colorful feel almost natural and normal, which hasn't happened much over the course of art history up to this point. Women with a Hat was actually shown at the Salon in Paris, along with another one of his paintings called Open Window. Art critic Louis Vercel commented on the lone Renaissance type sculpture that shared the room with these bright paintings, saying, "Donatello chez les fauves," which means Donatello among the wild beasts. This comment printed in the daily newspaper stuck with the public, and Fauvism became the name for this movement.
The amount of times this happens is crazy. Impressionism, Baroque, and Cubism, all named by Louis Vercel, were all named by insults.
Yeah, it definitely is. I was just thinking about that. Anyway, the exhibition at the Salon d'Automne gained some harsh criticism. One critic even said, "A pot of paint has been flung in the face of the public." But it also saw some positive attention. I think that Fauvism was just so different from what critics, other artists, the public, etc., had seen before, and people just jumped to criticize before they really even got a chance to appreciate it. All this criticism definitely took a toll on Matisse. However, when Women with a Hat was bought by Gertrude and Leo Stein, two famous American art collectors, Matisse's morale improved, and he continued to gain traction along with the movement. Like we said before, Matisse was recognized as a leader of the movement along with André Durain. The two were friendly rivals. The movement had numerous members, and Gustave Moreau was the movement's inspirational teacher. Do you remember Gustave Moreau?
Yes, he was Matisse's teacher at the Académie Julian, where he studied art.
Yep. Even though Moreau died in 1898, before the movement officially began, he pushed his students to think outside of the box and follow their own visions. However, even with some encouragement, Matisse's work during this time obviously gained a lot of criticism, and he found it difficult to provide for his family of five. One of his paintings was even burned in Chicago. Anyway, the Fauvist movement began to decline, but Matisse's career was not affected. In fact, many of his finest works were created between 1906 and 1917, when he was a part of the great artistic group in Montparnasse, an area of Paris. Matisse continued to absorb new inspirations. He traveled to Algeria in 1906 to study African art and primitivism, which is most relative to native or folk art. He traveled extensively during this period, including to Germany, Spain, and Morocco. All of these contributed to his use of intense monotone color.
Around April 1906, he met Pablo Picasso, who was 11 years younger than Matisse. By now, Matisse was 37, making Picasso a young 26. The two became lifelong friends and are often compared. One key difference between the two is that Matisse often drew from nature, while Picasso was more inclined to work from the imagination. Both of them painted women and still lives frequently. Matisse and Picasso met first in the Paris Salon of Gertrude Stein, the same art collector who bought Women with the Hat at Salon d'Automne. During the early 20th century, American art collectors Gertrude, Leo, Michael, and Sarah Stein were instrumental in supporting and collecting Matisse's paintings. The Cohn sisters, Clarabelle and Etta, friends of Gertrude Stein, were also major patrons of both Matisse and Picasso, collecting hundreds of their works. The Cohn collection is now exhibited in the Baltimore Museum of Art if you ever get a chance to visit the city.
Matisse's friends organized and financed the Académie Matisse in Paris, a private and commercial school in which Matisse instructed young artists. It only operated for 4 years, however. In 1917, Matisse relocated to Simiai, a suburb of the city of Nice. His art reflects a softening and relaxation in his personality, characteristic of many post-World War I artists. Unfortunately, some of his work from this period was considered shallow and decorative. In the 1920s, Matisse once again collaborated with other artists. This time, however, he worked not only with French artists, but also artists from Germany, the Netherlands, Spain, and the US.
In July of 1939, when Matisse was 70 years old, his wife Amelie suspected he was having an affair with model Lydia Delectorskaya and ended their 41-year marriage. Delectorskaya attempted suicide by shooting herself in the chest. However, she survived miraculously with no serious injuries. She returned to Matisse and worked with him for the rest of his life, running his household, paying the bills, keeping records, assisting in his studio, and coordinating his business affairs. Matisse was in Paris when the Nazis invaded France in June 1940, but managed to make his way to Nice. His son Pierre, now a 40-year-old gallery owner, begged Matisse to flee while he could. Matisse was about to leave to Brazil, but then actually changed his mind last minute and remained in France. He clearly had a lot of pride in his country because he wrote to Pierre, "If everyone who has any value leaves France, what remains of France?" He was not a member of the resistance, but the remaining population took pride in the fact that one of their most acclaimed artists chose to stay. Even under Nazi occupation, Matisse was allowed to exhibit with other former fauves and cubists. Any artist exhibiting in France during this time had to sign an oath assuring their Aryan status.
In 1941, Matisse was diagnosed with duodenal cancer, a type of intestinal cancer. His surgery, while successful, resulted in serious complications from which he nearly died. Being bedridden for 3 months resulted in him developing a new kind of art using paper and scissors.
That same year, a nursing student named Monique Bourgeois responded to an ad placed by Matisse for a nurse. When she began working for him, he discovered that she was an amateur artist and he taught her about perspective. After 3 years of working for Matisse, Monique left her position to join a convent and later became a Dominican nun in 1946. Matisse painted a chapel in Vence, a small town he moved to in 1943, in her honor. Matisse remained isolated in southern France throughout the war, but many of his family members were involved in the French Renaissance resistance. Sorry. His son Pierre, the art dealer in New York, helped the Jewish and anti-Nazi French artists he represented flee to the United States. In 1942, he held an exhibition in New York called Artists in Exile, which would become very famous. Matisse's ex-wife Amelie was a typist for the French underground and was jailed for 6 months. Even Matisse's daughter Marguerite was almost tortured to death by the Gestapo and was sentenced to the Ravensbrück concentration camp. She managed to escape and survived in the woods until rescued by fellow resistors. Sadly, Rudolf Levy, a Jewish student of Matisse, was killed in Auschwitz in 1944.
When Matisse was again diagnosed with cancer, this time abdominal, in 1941 at age 72, he underwent surgery that left him chair and bedbound. Painting and sculpting had become physically straining, so he turned to a new form of art. With the help of his assistants, he began creating paper collages called découpage. He would cut out pre-painted sheets of paper into various shapes and sizes and arrange them to form expressive compositions. In the beginning, these pieces were modest in size, but as he grew more comfortable, they grew into murals and room-sized works. This form of dimensional art combined painting and sculpture in a new way. While this was his major medium during the last years of his life, he actually used decoupage as early as 1919 during the design of decor for an opera. However, when he began to exclusively use collage, he transformed it into its own form.
I think it's really cool that Matisse continued to create art even when he was physically challenged.
Me too. He was actually quoted saying, "An artist must never be a prisoner of himself," which I think is a powerful reminder. In 1948, at age 79, he began to work on designs for Chapelle du Rosaire de Vence, which allowed him to expand his new technique into decoration. He designed the chapel windows as well as other parts of the church using the cutout method. This project re represented his official shift away from his traditional forms of art.
Yes, he finished his final sculpture in 1950 and its final painting in 1951, and then continued to use the paper cutout until his death. In 1952, he established a museum dedicated to his work called the Matisse Museum in Le Cateau, which now holds the third largest Matisse collection in France. According to David Rockefeller, Matisse's final work was the design for a stained glass window installed at the Union Church of Pocantico Hills near the Rockefeller Estate.
Matisse died of a heart attack at the age of 84 on November 3rd, 1954. Continuing with last week's theme, I am convinced that great artists live long because 84 was 17 years older than the average life expectancy at this time. Exactly. He is buried with his ex-wife, Amélie, in the cemetery of the Mont de Notre Dame des Cimes.
So even in the years after his death up to now, he has gained great admiration and fame. His painting, The Plum Blossoms, painted in 1948, so one of his last paintings, sold for $25 million in 2005. It was purchased for the Museum of Modern Art and had not been seen by the public since 1970. In 2002, Reclining Nude One, a sculpture, was sold for $9.2 million. A record for a sculpture by the artist.
As far as his family goes, we actually have a lot of information. I guess I'm used to learning about ancient artists, and usually there isn't a ton of information about much other than the artist and his or her works. So I'm really excited to share some information about the Matisse family, starting with his daughter. Marguerite often aided Matisse scholars with insights about his working methods and works. She died in 1982 while compiling a catalog of her father's work. Matisse's son, Pierre, opened a modern art gallery in the 1930s, which we talked a little about earlier. Called the Pierre Matisse Gallery, he represented many, many artists, including Marc Chagall, a native artist, André Durain, a neoclassicist, Le Corbusier, a cubist, and of course, our buddy, Henri Matisse.
Matisse's grandson, Paul Matisse, is an artist and inventor living in Massachusetts, and his great-granddaughter, Sophie Matisse, is also an artist.
Okay, to finish, let's talk about some of his most recent exhibitions.
Sounds great.
Henri Matisse, the cutouts was exhibited at London's Tate Modern from April to September 2014. The show was the largest and most extensive of the cutouts ever mounted, including about 130 works spanning 17 years of Matisse's career. The Tate Modern Show was the first in its history to attract more than 500,000 people. After leaving London, the show traveled to New York, where it remained until February 2015.
Wow, I've been to a lot of art museums in my life, and I honestly can't say I ever remember seeing a Matisse work, even though he's easily one of my favorite artists. What about you?
I absolutely am in love with Matisse. He really added something totally new to the world of art, and his influence revolutionized the art movements of the 20th century. To me, it's crazy to see how much a single artist can inspire the generations after him or her, and I think that Matisse was definitely one of these artists. So, any final thoughts?
I feel the same way, and I'm honestly sad this episode is over. It was so much fun to research one of my faves.
We hope you join us next week for another episode. Let us know through our Instagram at the Mystery Behind Art History. If you have any suggestions for future artists we should cover, see you next week.
Bye, everyone.